What's up, everyone? This is Fan Behavior, the new podcast by Megan and Katie. I'm Megan.
I'm Katie. Welcome, everyone. We're super pumped that you're here.
Super pumped.
Ecstatic. Ecstatic.
No, wait. Is it ecstatic or ecstatic?
Ecstatic. I think I'm saying it horribly.
I think you're wrong. I don't know what the real... I don't know what the
ecstatic,
real...
Ecstatic, right?
Ecstatic.
Ecstatic?
I think it's ecstatic. Okay, someone tell us, but...
Let us know.
We are thrilled.
We're thrilled to be here. This has been a thought in our minds for quite some time, and it's finally come to life. We finally mustered up the courage to be here.
I finally told Katie to get her shit together and ask, okay, do you actually want to do this? Or is this just something you like to tease me about, saying, we should do this, ha 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 ha.
And we'll see if it lasts. We're really hopeful. We have a lot of content for you guys. Mm-hmm. And
tell your friends about us, honestly.
Yeah, we think we're hilarious. Let us know what you think, or if we need to work on our comedic skills. Also let us know that.
Should we tell them what the podcast is even about?
Take it away.
Okay, so basically, I'm really horrible at explaining what this is about.
I think you should take over. Okay, immediately I'm taking over. So basically, we are just obsessed with pop culture, TV, movies, books.
To a point it's where it's bad for us and our mental health, but do we care? No.
So this podcast is honestly just going to be us ranting about our opinions and thoughts on these different types of things. This episode, we're focusing on Vampire Diaries. That'll come later, but honestly, Vampire Diaries was our life at the beginning of our sophomore year of college, so we felt that it was only necessary to kick off episode one.
Yeah. Well, you watched Vampire Diaries, like, when it came out, didn't you? Like, in the 2010s?
Yes. Vampire Diaries has been a part of my life for much too long.
Okay. I'm relatively new to the area, but yes. I'm new in town.
When quarantine began, I forced Megan into watching the Vampire Diaries because I knew she was bored out of her mind.
Little did she know.
How long did it take you?
Okay, so I started watching after spring break, and that was when quarantine hit, so basically I was sitting in my room watching a season a day, maybe?
So it basically took her 8 days to get through 8 seasons.
No, it took me like 3 weeks to finish the whole series, which I don't recommend. I lost so much sleep, and it wasn't worth it, to be honest. I mean, it was good, but like... Why?
Yeah, when you had absolutely all the time in the world, it probably didn't have to be fit into 3 weeks, but hey.
It probably didn't. It definitely didn't. Like, there's no reason I actually needed to do that, but...
You live and you learn.
But do I learn? No. I still do that.
Do you just make those same mistakes again and again?
Yeah. Is that the definition of insanity?
Yeah. So just a little bit about us before we kick it into Vampire Diaries.
Yes.
We're both sophomores in college. We have basically no life.
That is true. Our social circle is smaller because of the pandemic.
Honestly, why though? Because what do you mean why?
Oh, okay.
Everyone should want to be our friend.
Okay, interesting take. I wouldn't say I agree completely. We are a lot.
Yeah.
But only with each other, I think.
Yeah.
That's why this needs to happen. It's good energy. It's energy we need to, like, expend because there's no other outlet at the moment.
Yeah. If anything, this will just be where we put all of our thoughts into and just an outlet for... Absolutely everything.
We've also been told by our roommates that we bicker too much, like an old married couple, like at 10 o'clock at night, because we have so much energy that we need to, like, expel from our bodies. So maybe this will be a good, like, way to do that instead of, like, fighting.
If you hear bickering, do not worry. That happens every day.
That's what we do instead of fighting. Yeah. We just bicker.
We've never had a fight, but we do bicker at least once a day.
And this is how it goes. Take it away.
Are they ready for it?
I don't know. Maybe we'll give them a sneak peek at the end. I don't know.
Yeah. Basically, all right. Let me just let you guys in on a little secret. I'm always right.
No, you're not.
And Megan hates that. So she comes up with silly little stupid comebacks. And the bickers are just her way of trying to stay on my playing field, but she knows that she can't. So
the thing is, we can't all be women in STEM. Someone has to be the dumb one, and I'll fully take that on. But sometimes sometimes I just like to be a little stubborn, you know? Just get a little fight in there. Feel a little fighty.
One of Megan's top qualities. Stubbornness.
Stubbornness and also zero patience for anyone who does not, like, do things the way I like to do them. Like,
yeah, so let's see how this podcast goes. She's gonna be screaming at me in 5 minutes.
Katie, shut the fuck up. That's not how you're supposed to say it.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Okay, so we're both sophomores. Katie is an engineer.
Why did I say it like that?
She's an engineer, not an engineerer.
And though Megan is an extreme introvert, she's majoring in communications. So,
I mean, I don't know if you can tell that I'm an introvert from the podcast, though. We'll get into that later. I mean,
yeah,
I never leave my room.
Megan leaves our apartment.
It's national news when I leave the apartment at this point. Like,
for groceries and for groceries only.
Okay, I went grocery shopping all by myself last week. And
oh, yeah, I think we also need to mention we have extreme codependency on one another.
There's no one we can do this podcast with, like, else, because there's no one else we can do it with, because there's not the sense of codependency there.
We if this gives you guys an idea of how bad we are, when we order food and the delivery man is at the front of our apartment, we need to go down together to grab the food because we're too scared to do it alone.
And at this point, it's just like, Katie, food's here. And then she's like, am I going with you?
We walk to the mail room together. We walk to the trash room together.
Yeah.
We go everywhere. Even if it's a one-man
job. To be fair, we literally live, like, 20 feet from the trash room. And it's like, come with me. Field trip.
But do I just enjoy every minute of that field trip?
You bet your ass you do.
And by every minute, I mean the single minute that it takes us to walk there and back.
The minute there and minute back. Just 2 minutes tops.
Yeah. So that's, like, definitely something that we're working on.
I'm slowly becoming less codependent. But when I say slowly, I'm emphasizing slowly, because that will not happen until at least summer.
I think we both have ventured out to the grocery store alone once so far
since we moved in.
We moved in September, so
it's scary out there by yourself. I don't know, the world is a big place.
The real world is scary, and having Megan there with me just gives me a sense of comfort.
I'm here for you always.
Thank you.
And you're here for me, whether you want to be or not.
Whether I like it or not.
Yep.
I'm going to the mailroom with you.
Okay, so
without further ado,
let's talk about the Vampire Diaries.
For anyone who has no idea what the Vampire Diaries is,
shame on you, honestly. At this point, it's such, like, a sin to not know what the Vampire Diaries are. Or at least not seen one episode. Like, come on, it's on Netflix. Like, let's watch that. Let's get it together.
If you haven't seen it and you are planning on going to watch it, stop listening to us because honestly, we're going to drop some spoilers.
We're going to drop some spoilers, but did I spoil the whole series for myself? Literally, like, the second day I started watching this. Okay, spoiler alert, but, like, I was looking up, do Stefan and Elena end up together? And then it was like, how does Stefan die? And I was like, whoa.
Spoiler alert, Stefan dies.
But are we sad about it? We'll get into that. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
You know nothing about the Vampire Diaries, basically it just follows an annoying teenage girl throughout the rest of her high school years, and some vampires come to town, and then some other mythical creatures come to town.
Should we go by season, then?
Yeah, okay. I think we need to have season recaps, and then...
There'll be quick recaps. It's all going to fit into this episode. We're not going to, go dive deep. We're just going to give a recap and then give our opinions about that stuff, because we don't have the time to delve deep. There's so many freaking, subplots in
So many subplots. Honestly, this show could have been fit into 3 seasons, but they chose to make it 8.
But it also would have been, way easier for them if they would, fucking text each other what's going on. They all had cell phones. Why was there not a group text being like, oh my god, I just found this out? That would have been so helpful. But honestly, they had way better communication skills than everyone on Teen Wolf, though. Honestly, props to them. We'll get into Teen Wolf later. That's a different episode, but I just gotta point it out. The communication in CW shows and, anything from the 2000s was, horrible. No one told each other anything. And then they're like, what? How? We all fit, it all, fits together at the end somehow. But I'm like, when did you have time to tell people this? Yeah,
the amount of time characters are left in the dark solely just because they, weren't communicating like they should have been.
I think that just was to fill episodes, though, because they were like, oh, shit, we have 3 episodes left. They need to not tell each other right now because we need to, have people be confused for the next 3 episodes. And then,
and the next 3 episodes are extreme filler episodes.
Yeah. Let's add some little flashback in there. It's not really necessary, but, let's add some. Okay, so season 1. Vampire Diaries. We meet Elena Gilbert, the most annoying teenage girl character probably on the history of television. Okay, granted, her parents died, but okay, not trying to get canceled already out of her zone, but this girl.
She is such a pick-me girl.
She carries the victim complex through the next 8 years. I understand, your life is hard. I understand that, and I feel bad for you. But also, there's so many people in your life that,
and
want to help you, and you're such a pick me.
The amount of conflict that just stemmed from her being stupid.
She's so clueless. How long did it take for her to figure out Stefan was a vampire? I'm sorry. He literally got, his hand healed when he got cut on that glass, and I would have been like, that's sus.
His name was on the Founding Fathers poster or whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing. The town was so like wrapped up in its own history. They had so many historical events, and we see Damon and Stefan in pictures all the fucking time, and no one was like, that's kinda weird. I'm like, you look exactly like this person.
Yeah. The story takes place in Mystic Falls, which, really? You didn't put 2 and 2 together that, Mystic Falls?
Ooh, it's mystical.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert! It's got some mystical creatures.
They're obsessed with their history and their founding fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Founding families.
Yeah, they're founding families.
Stop founding fathers. Alexander Hamilton.
No.
No. Founding families, Stefan and Damon were, literally alive since the founding families in 1864, and no one puts that together.
No one. So, Stefan comes to town first, then Damon joins later, and honestly, I did hate Damon at the beginning.
He was crusty and ugly
in the beginning. He was crusty! His hair was just not it. I just did not understand why, you told me, you're like, I'm Team Damon. And I'm like, but why though? I'm watching this and I'm like, I do not understand. Stefan is such a better boyfriend. I'm like,
yeah.
She's like, just wait. Just wait. Because Stefan is crusty.
And she waited and she saw.
Yeah. But that's season 3.
Yeah, nothing happens in season 1.
No, the second time we watched it, we didn't even watch
season one altogether.
Like, do we know what happens? Yeah. They're looking for Catherine, who looks exactly like Elena, and that's a whole drama. And basically, she's not where she thinks, where they think she's going to be. And then that's the end of season 1. Season 2 gets good. We get to meet Catherine, who is played by Nina Dobrev, who also plays Elena. But Catherine is such a better character than Elena. Like, everyone hates Elena and everyone loves Catherine. It's honestly a testament to
Catherine's basically the villain throughout the entire series. But do I like her way more than Elena? Yes.
Do I sometimes relate to her? Yes. That's another issue that we don't have time to unpack. Anyway,
we also meet Klaus.
Okay, we meet Klaus at the end, but honestly, the build up for Klaus arriving was so good.
And the little, like, bits and pieces of him that we saw throughout the season, like, in other people's bodies.
Okay, that's my dog. For everyone who was wondering what the jangling is.
Ignore the jingles.
If she decides to talk during this podcast, I apologize. Her name is Bear. She's needy. She has become a quarantine dog, but she was alive pre-quarantine. Anyway, we get to be Klaus. The build-up for Klaus is so good. Like, I'm expecting this, like, scary-looking dude, like, super buff, like, about to, like, pop out. He's a 1,000-year-old, like, vampire. Like, I'm terrified of him, and I haven't even seen his face. Then we meet him, and he is a hottie. He is so goddamn hot. I'm like, there's no way that I'm not gonna like this character, because he's so hot.
He is a hybrid, so he's a vampire and a werewolf.
Yeah, spoiler alert. The sun and the moon curse, not real.
Which brings us into season 3. The entirety of season 3 is Klaus
flirting with Caroline
and obsessed with triggering his hybrid gene.
No, he's obsessed with making hybrids, because at the end of season 2 okay, at the end of season 2, Stefan, like, turns his humanity off, because apparently as a vampire you can just do that. No one says how. Basically, they're just like, it's a little, like, light switch, turn it off. And that's it. And then so he basically becomes, like, a ripper, because he's a blood addict.
Oh, and Klaus wants to build up his hybrid army.
Yeah.
So he drags Stefan along with him.
Basically, he makes this hybrid army by finding werewolves, because werewolves exist in this universe, too. And, like, killing them, and then feeding them he feeds them his blood, and then he kills them, and they turn into vampires, but it's not working. Not working.
They're all dying.
Yeah. Like, in gross ways. It's just icky. And then he realizes, hey, I should go, like, wake up my dead sister and ask her what's going on. Because she would know. I have no idea why they wake Rebecca up at all.
Yeah. And then we have forgotten to mention, there are also witches.
Oh, gosh. The witches. Oh, no. That's important, actually. No, don't sit on the phone.
There are witches. Annoying Elena's best friend, Bonnie, who isn't annoying.
No, Bonnie's, like, such a good character.
Yeah. But Bonnie is a witch. And Elena uses her witch powers constantly.
She's like, Bonnie, can you please do this for me? Like, can you please do this for
Bonnie.
Me?
Bonnie! Bonnie!
No, the way that Elena, like, I don't know what's the word. She just, like, uses Bonnie all the time. And Bonnie's like, I don't want to use my magic. I don't want to use my magic to help vampires. And she's like, but Bonnie, it's not for them. It's for me. But it's really for the vampires. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Throughout seasons 1, 2, and 3, Elena's like obsessed with the fact that she's a human. She lives off the fact that she's a quote good person.
She holds like herself to such moral and ethical like standards when I'm like, okay, but you're also annoying. Like, you gotta take that into consideration. I feel like we're not talking about how annoying you are. Like, if you were a vampire, maybe you would behave differently. Congrats, you're human. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, she's extremely annoying throughout the entire show.
Yeah. And, okay, so let's break down her friend group for a second. So she's friends with Bonnie. She's also friends with this girl, Caroline. Caroline becomes a vampire because Catherine turns her into a vampire in season 2.
Caroline is annoying as a human in season 1.
I'm going to kill... No, I'm not going to kill her. My dog keeps itching her ear so loudly. I don't know if you can hear it. It's so loud. Stop.
Caroline's annoying as a human, but she's brilliant as a vampire.
Yeah, she's one of the best. Like, she...
Such a good character.
So her and Klaus have a little thing, too.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. It's so... it's so good. The way that they are... Like, he's like that character. It's like, I only have a soft spot for you. It's like, oh my gosh. In reality, this would be such a red flag. But, like, in TV, it's so cute.
We love it in TV. And then she also has... Tyler, who is a werewolf.
I hate Tyler so much.
He's actually just, like, a horrible person. But they all just, like, he's let like, that slide.
His whole personality is, I'm angry.
Like, yeah.
That's all his personality is.
And do we even need to mention the absolute worst character of the series?
Who?
Matt. Honestly.
No, let's not talk about Matt Donovan.
He's there, but you don't need to know anything about him.
He dies so many times, comes back to life so many times. We think he's going to be dead. We think our wish is going to come true. It never does. This man never dies. Like, he never, like, truly dies. It's so frustrating.
Coming right back
okay, to... Okay, so season 3, we're ending with... Rebecca gets mad at Elena because, Elena tries to kill the rest of her family. Like, okay, so Klaus's family's called, like, the originals because, like, they're the first 6 vampires that ever exist. And so... because there's so many subplots.
This is the only way you can explain the vampire.
Yeah, honestly. Exactly. And Katie trying to explain to me what it was before I started watching, she was just like, I can't. Just watch it. You won't understand what I'm talking about.
Like, yeah, so if you haven't watched it, watch it, and you'll completely understand what we're talking about right now.
Katie's, my dog is, a little rambunctious right now. Can you hear her loud breathing? Yeah, that's her. Anyway.
Rebecca gets mad, end of season 3.
And kills Elena. But, plot twist, Elena becomes a vampire. And she gets so much worse.
If you thought she was bad in seasons 1 through 3,
she's worse.
You are in for a surprise.
She dyes her hair. She has her spills a red streak in her hair.
The red streak is a streak of literal Satan.
I hate her so much as a vampire. Okay, and then, like, they go in search of, like, the cure.
Because everything revolves around Elena, and now that Elena's a vampire, they need to find a cure for vampirism.
Yeah, and, like, there's a whole confrontation with Damon and Stefan, because there's, like, a little love triangle going on, and they're like, Stefan, and Damon's like, Stefan, why are you doing this? Like, don't you love her as a vampire? And Stefan's like, no, I don't. Like, she's better as a human. She doesn't want to be a vampire. And I'm like, tough tooties, Elena. Like, you die. Like, I would love to, like, have a few more years. If you really want to die that badly, like, I don't know what to tell you.
Honestly, no one who turned wanted to be a vampire. It just happens.
Yeah, I don't really know, like, what they were thinking about that. So they go in search of this cure. It's in Iceland or something. I don't know where it is. It's this guy named Silas. He becomes important later.
Throughout the entire series, they travel the world, but they, like, never are traveling. They just get from place to place so quickly.
They're just like, oh, we're arriving on this island, and it's somehow only an hour has passed. I'm like, you are from Virginia. I'm confused how you're, like, in, like, Europe right now.
Yeah, how does that happen? Characters are all over the world at all times, but time just does not move.
They have, like, vampire speed, but, like, they never, like, do it for long periods of time. They always have cars.
Okay, serious question. Why do they have cars if they can run faster than cars with their vampire speed?
Do you remember? Okay, off topic a little bit, but...
You're ruining our episode here.
My dog has this thing where she needs to have a hand on her at all points or she gets, like, anxiety. Wear her comfort blanket. Anyway, there's, like, this whole episode where they, like, run out of blood, so they, like, can't run. Remember that? When, like, Stefan and Elena, they get, like, kidnapped and then, like, oh, wait, that's, like, kind of next season. But anyway, season 3, they're going in search of, no,
wait, season 4. Wait, we're on season 4.
Yeah, they're in search of the cure, they find it, but Elena's brother dies, and that's a whole scene, because...
We haven't even mentioned Elena's brother, and honestly, we don't need to.
And literally, his only significance was that he dated Bonnie, and it was gross. Like, I didn't like him.
So weird. If my best friend ever... Imagine if you ever tried dating a sibling.
If you ever tried dating my brother. I am the one with the brother, the younger brother.
Well, you never know who you might be interested in. Boys, girls.
No. There will be no dating of siblings in this friendship.
Absolutely none. And there shouldn't have been in Elena and Bonnie's either.
Yeah, that should have been, like, an actual fight. Like, I don't understand why Elena was like, if you're happy, I'm happy. I'd be like, no, that's weird. That's gross. Sorry to anyone who's dating their best friend's sibling, but, like, I don't like it. I wouldn't do that to myself.
Yeah. So, he dies.
And then there's this whole scene in their house, and she's like, no, I can't.
She has a breakdown.
And he's like, Elena, I need you to calm down. No, I can't. That's literally what she sounds like.
Yeah. And she burns everything to the ground.
And then she turns her humanity off. And you thought human Elena was annoying? You thought vampire Elena was annoying? Vampire Elena without her humanity is so much worse. Basically, this is an Elena hate podcast.
That's precisely what it is. Wrapping up season 4 and moving on to season 5.
I'm so sorry about my dog. She's literally so annoying. I'm adding a flag as I'm... Okay, let me describe the scene for you. Me and Katie are sitting on my bed. My dog will not stop rolling around on the bed and over the top of the phone.
Biting my hand. She loves the chew toy.
She loves to just put your hand in her mouth and sit there with your hand in her mouth. And we can't close the door because then she'll whine. So, that's where we're at the moment. Okay, season 5. Bonnie's dead. Don't know how that happened.
I don't remember.
I don't remember how that happened either. But she's dead. They're going to college. They don't notice that their friend is dead because Jeremy is like, she's like, running her social media accounts and is like, I'm alive. But she's not.
No, Jeremy is dead.
No, Jeremy was dead, and then Bonnie brought him back to life using Silas. And then she died because her grandma was like, you can't do that. Life for life, you know?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, see, there's so many subplots in the show. It makes it good, but it makes it confusing to recap because there's so many elements. Season 5, dead Bonnie. We get to meet the doppelgangers.
Basically, Elena and Stefan both have, like, 4 doppelgangers.
A doppelganger is someone who looks exactly like you. For no goddamn reason.
Why was that a part of the story?
Oh, okay, wait.
So we don't know.
I think it's because, like, they're soulmates, you know? Like, the doppelgangers will always find their way to each other. But do they? No.
And why?
For what reason was this a thing?
Yeah, I don't know. Then they deal with all of the doppelgangers, like, ending up in the same place at once. And the older ones want to be dead, and Elena and Stefan still want to be alive, obviously.
So they're like, okay, we'll kill you. Like,
all right, I guess.
I guess. But then there's, like, the other side that, like...
The other side.
Okay, basically... wait, so one of the doppelgangers, the original doppelganger, her name is Amara. She looks exactly like Elena. She's the anchor to, like, all the dead people on the other side. So when you die and you're a supernatural creature, you have to touch her to cross over to, like, where all the other supernatural creatures that are dead, like, get to, like, run around and play. So Bonnie, who's dead, switches places with Amara because Amara's like, this shit sucks. I hate it so much. It hurts. Like, and Bonnie's like, oh, I'll take it. Like, I'll be fine.
Little does she know, every time someone dies, you feel that death, like, wash through you.
Yeah, you literally feel the pain of their death. Yeah. And she does it, like, multiple times a day.
Yeah.
Rain or shine.
Day or night, rain or shine. She's dealing with it.
Yeah, she gets to deal with that. So everyone else, she obviously hides it. She keeps it a secret because why not? Let's not tell our friends our issues.
Yeah.
We keep it to ourselves. Our friends are in their own relationships. Like, it's great. We're starting college again.
Yeah. And then don't know how this even happens, but Bonnie and Damon get stuck in a prison world instead of going to the other side.
Yeah, because the other side crumbles. Like, it falls apart.
The other side falls apart, and they somehow just end up in a prison world.
Yeah.
Why?
I'm still confused about it. I've watched the show twice. I don't understand how that happened. I think maybe it was her grandma. Her grandma was like, here, you don't want to die. Here's a prison world.
Prison worlds can be created by witches where people just, like, end up and, like...
It's the Gemini Coven. They always make the prison
worlds. Yeah, and you just, like...
No one else has figured out how to do it at this point, I guess.
And you're just, like, there.
And time doesn't pass.
And you're just stuck there by yourself, or so you think.
Yeah, okay, so Damon and Bonnie, they're chilling, they're having a great time in the prison world.
They're stuck in this prison world, they're really trying to figure out how to get out of there.
Yeah. And then they realize, uh-oh.
We're not alone.
And then comes my favorite character, the sociopath, Kai.
Kai Parker. He killed his entire...
Not entire, he only killed half of his family.
Only half. The half that he could get. And the rest of his family shoved him into this prison world.
Yes. He's a little out there. But he is played by Chris Wood, who was on Supergirl, and he is just a fine looking guy. I really like him.
We love him as a character.
Yeah.
But he is...
unstable.
A horrible person.
Yep.
So they're stuck in this prison world with Kai...
They figure out, Damon figures out how to get out.
Bonnie sacrifices, like, herself so Damon can get out.
And Bonnie's stuck there with Kai.
Yeah, eventually.
Which is not good. But the chemistry is unmatched. I'm sorry. Like, I wish they had gotten together at some point. I know she hates him so much, but, like, it would have been such an enemies to lovers story.
It never happens.
It never happens, but
eventually,
one can dream.
Bonnie and Kai both get out. And Kai kills everyone.
He does exactly what he plans on doing. There's no arc of, like, redemption. This man just, like, yep, I'll kill everyone in order to stay alive. And he ends up killing his sister, who is pregnant.
With witch twins, which we'll get into later.
Yeah, because that comes up again.
And so he kills her. He kills... literally all of his family.
Yeah, like at the wedding. He's like, I'll kill you all and I don't care.
And he just for
shits and giggles?
Just for fun. He decides that he's going to make Bonnie and Elena, their lives are linked. So until Bonnie dies, Elena's just in a coma.
This could honestly be an example of great writing plus such lazy writing. Like, this is like,
great writing, poor execution.
Poor execution, because we know that it was just the actress who played Elena was like, I want to leave.
Yeah.
And so we don't see her for a couple years. But back to Kai, my love, my favorite. Kay looks so concerned.
You do enjoy every episode that Kai is on.
And to be fair, everyone on the show is a murderer. Like, there's no one in the show that has not killed someone, even at least for the sake of someone else living.
Yeah. Like,
there's no ethics in the Vampire Diaries.
Right.
Even Matt Donovan, his hands are not clean. Also, he's Matt Donovan. I hate him. Okay, let's stop mentioning him.
So, end of season 6, the world is in shambles.
That's a way to describe
everything.
Literally, we don't know where the pieces are. We don't know how they're going to be put back together. Because
season 6 ends with them finding out that the twins that were in the witch's pregnant belly have suddenly made it into Caroline's. How did that happen?
How did it work? Because Caroline is technically dead. Like, she's a vampire. She's dead. There's no way.
There's just no way. Season 7, there's a time jump before season 7. It's like 5 years.
Did we talk about Elena and Bonnie being linked together?
I did, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so basically,
Elena's now in a coma.
The rules of that are, as long as Bonnie's alive, Elena can't be awake.
So they just kind of leave Elena there.
Yeah, because Damon at this point is, like, in love with her, and he's like, I'm a vampire, so
I'll wait for her.
Yeah.
Bonnie. When she's back alive again. Bonnie, live out your life.
And Bonnie and Damon are really such a great friendship duo.
Yeah.
They honestly have good chemistry, and I wouldn't have been mad if they had gotten together.
Yeah.
But Bonnie and Enzo.
Season 7, Bonnie and Enzo become
a little more than friends. We met at like season 5.
Forgot to mention him. He's a vampire. Great character.
A hottie.
Attractive.
Yeah.
Definitely.
See, a product of a subplot, because we did forget about him, but he becomes important later.
Yeah, he and Bonnie are endgame.
But are they?
They should be endgame.
Every couple you want to end up together
doesn't.
And for one of them, for the reason that one of them is always dead.
So, yeah, season 7, the witch twins are now born.
Yeah, they're a little, yeah. Then we meet, like, these weird people. They're called the heretics. They're just like Kai. Kai was like a siphon witch where he could like suck the magic out of people. But they're also vampires, plot twist. And we get to meet Stefan and Damon's mother.
Yes.
Who abandoned them, basically.
Yeah. There's also vampire hunters in this season.
There's like a time jump in the middle of it.
Yeah. So much happens in this season.
It's messy. It's honestly one of the messiest seasons.
I loved the fact that Elena was gone, but the series should have ended
When Elena left. And then we could have done, like, a flash forward, like, Bonnie's old and she dies and
Elena's now alive with Damon.
Yeah.
And they all live happily ever after. It doesn't.
We get 2 more seasons after Elena leaves.
And so much goes on.
What else? Okay, so Caroline has her kids. Season 8. I'm just done talking about season 7. Like, I can't. I honestly, my mental capacity for discussing season 7 is at its limit already.
Season 8, short and sweet.
Super short. It was a dream come true at the end of rewatching it, because I was like, I'm done.
Yeah. Basically, there are sirens who are working for
the devil.
The devil.
It got really, weirdly religious at the end, but, not. Like, they were like, oh, he's a psychic. He's not actually, Satan. But it's like, but he's the devil. I don't know.
Yeah. Catherine returns and ends up just being, the entire, conflict of season 8.
Yes. That was my time.
Bear is now gay for no reason.
Oh my gosh. The way she's such a ball of energy right now. Okay. Catherine died in season 4, 5. We forgot to talk about that because that was a subplot. We're so good at this, Katie. When it's eight seasons, this is such a mess, but it's fine.
We're getting this one out of the way for you guys. It needed to be discussed.
Yeah.
Next episode.
This was the biggest thing that happened, in quarantine, was that we watched this.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, season 8, let's just recap. Catherine is now the ruler of the underworld. They find this out. They're like, God damn it. Thought we were done with her. But we're not. And then now, they have to fight Catherine. And Stefan becomes a human, sacrifices himself, dies. Elena comes back because Bonnie somehow figures it out, somehow breaks the spell. Never got a confirmation on how that actually worked. Yeah,
Damon took Stefan's blood, so is now a human.
Yeah.
And he and Elena just live happily ever after while everyone else suffers.
Yeah, basically. Basically, it ends in the most confusing way, too, because it's, flash forward to the future. She's, a doctor, and then they're, walking down the street, and then suddenly they're dead. And I'm like, did they get hit by a car? I'm just confused how she's suddenly seeing, all her dead relatives. And, Damon shows up at their, house, and he sees Stefan. He's like, hello, brother. And then it's done. It makes, the way it was executed was so poor, but, you're just so happy for it to be done.
We're talking about this as if it's a horrible show. We loved every minute
of it. We loved every minute of it. I will say it is a horrible show, but it is so good in the fact that it's so horribly written and so horribly done with CGI that you just want to keep watching it because it's so trashy and so good. There's just so many elements. And you have to pay attention. We would watch this in, our room. We share a room. And, Katie was on the top bunk and I was on the bottom bunk. Yeah, we have bunk beds. We don't need to talk about it.
Every time Megan shifts in bed, I feel it.
Every time.
Our beds creak and just shift. We are living on the cheapest of furniture.
Okay, well, the bunk beds actually come into the bickering too, because I'll be like, we light a candle in our room because it smells good, we want to have candles, and basically it'll be burning and Katie's already in bed, she's on the bottom bunk now. It'll be burning, and she's like, Megan, can you blow out the candle? And I'm like, I'm getting up in my bed, you're in the bottom bunk, fucking do it. She's like, no. And so that's where a bickering comes in, because I did it when I was on the bottom bunk, and then...
Oh, you yeah. did it when you were on the bottom
I
bunk.
Did, so I expect the same mutual respect
but
there.
But see, the thing is, Megan's not in bed yet, and she purposely doesn't blow out the candle just to make me suffer and have to get out of bed.
Honestly, everything I do pisses Katie off, because I don't get out of bed until 11:30 in the morning.
And I have class at 8 a.m. sharp.
So she's just mad at me because she signed up for classes that she knew were at 8 o'clock. And she just wants me to suffer with her. So I guess...
You know what? I was debating about bringing this up, but you know what I'm going wanting to.
What?
Another issue that we have.
This revolves, podcast is us just airing our dirty laundry so everyone can hear about it.
Revolves around the thermostat.
It's not my fault that on the top bunk, it's either literally a polar vortex or the Sahara Desert. There's no in between, and I would rather it be the polar vortex. Because I'm not waking up at 2 in the morning sweating, like, the amount of sweat coming off my body. I wake up, my mouth is dry. Like, I have to, like, take a sip of water. I'm sweating, and I'm just, like, sometimes I'm, like, oh, my God, like, I'm so, like, moist right now. I feel like I peed my pants. Like, I'm, like, it's so hot up there, and you get so mad at me about it, because I go and I turn the thermostat down to, like, 67, which, by the way, at night is not that bad.
You turn it down to 66, don't lie.
Okay, last time I was there, I will admit, the last night I was back, I did turn it to 66, but that's because it was at 67, and the actual room temperature was 70, so I was just trying to get it down, but then I woke up and it was 66, and I was cold.
Yeah, so I wake up for my 8 a.m. class. Megan's still going to be asleep for another 4 hours, so we don't even need to mention her. But I wake up, teeth clattering, because the room is literally 66 degrees.
I think it's your fault, and I think you should just get another blanket and put it on your bed. Like, I don't understand.
See, I'm warm enough overnight. But then
she wakes up, and she turns it. She turns it up, and I'm still sleeping. And I wake up in a heat flash. I'm like, one night I literally felt like I had started menopause. I swear to God, I had a heat like flash, and I was like, I do not know what's going on. And then finally, I just learned this 2 weeks ago that you started doing this. Like, I did not piece it together. I just thought it got brutally hot in the morning. I was like, she was like, yeah, me going to turn up the thermostat when I wake up. And I was like, you bitch. I did not know you did this.
Me turning that dial up higher, knowing full well Megan will suffer up in her top.
No, bunk. The way that she did it, though, was so, like, sneaky, because she literally never admitted it. I would wake up and I'd be like, oh my God, it's so hot in here, and she'd be like, yeah, or like, weird. Like, her acting skills were on point until she decided to reveal the truth to me.
Yeah, so that's
an example of us bickering, because honestly, it's us yelling at each other about the thermostat like an old married couple.
We will never agree.
We'll never agree about the small things, but, you know.
Megan wants it 66.
No, I don't want it 66. I was literally just trying to get it down from 70. It was so hot in
my
there.
My bad. 67, you guys.
Yeah, 67. 67 to 68 is the sweet spot, and no one can tell me otherwise, because you're cold enough that, like, when you move your legs, and, like, your legs stay in a certain place
underneath
your covers. Under your covers, your legs don't get sweaty. Like, I hate that when you, like, there's no, like, cold place to move your legs underneath your covers. You have to, like, and it gets too warm under there. Like, that's uncomfortable. So, yeah. 67 to 68 is the sweet spot, because it doesn't get cold. It doesn't get hot throughout the night. And then if you kept it in the morning, it still wouldn't be hot in the morning. But no, you turn up to 70 or 72, and it's so hot.
Yeah, her sweet spot is 67 to 68. My sweet spot is 70 to 72.
During the day, I love having it at 70, 72. During the nighttime, it's ungodly to have it at anything over 69.
One of these days, I'm going to turn it up to max.
No, you're not. Because our heating bill's going to go up. We don't have enough money to pay for it anyway.
Yeah, we forgot to mention we're broke.
Subscribe. Yeah. So basically, that's it for today.
We're going to close it off there extremely abruptly.
Well, we'll close it off by saying we're fans of a lot of things, but ultimately what matters is that we're fans of each other and of ourselves.